If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Listening Behind the Curtain. For those of you joining us here on WGN Plus, the streaming television app, which you can get on Apple TV or Roku or Fire TV. And this is where all of our shows premiere each weekend on Saturday and on Sunday. After that, you can catch this at WGNradio.com and YouTube and anywhere else you get your podcasts. The show this week is unbelievable because I have already seen Titanic twice and am going again. It's playing at the Broadway Playhouse. It's been a hit in other places around the country, including in New York, but finally it's here, presented by Broadway in Chicago in conjunction with Porchlight Music Theater. And I'm going to chat for a while here with the director but co-creator of Titanic, and that is Ty Blue. Ty, thanks for being with me, because I know when you're done here, you're going to Paris to do it again.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Yeah, as soon as we open the show here next week, I'm on a red eye to Paris to get that company going.
So Titanic, which is now a full-blown musical, but as I understand it, it actually began as kind of a concert thing, which at some point you went, this is actually a show.
Yeah, back in the day in Los Angeles when we were sort of developing it, I would just present it as a row of chairs and microphone stands, and we would do it as a concert reading type hybrid thing. And we did that for a while. And then it took, you know, a couple years of that, and a producer came and saw it and thought, I think I want to become attached to this. And that's when the wheels started turning to turn it into a full stage production.
This is going on all over the world. But am I right in understanding when you do it in different places? If I see it in New York, or I see it in Sydney, or I eventually come see it in Paris, I'm not seeing the exact same show.
Oh, no, you're not. Well, two things. Everywhere that I go with the show, I always try to listen to the locals and the cast and get a sense of like what's happening there in their scene and their pop culture and what's iconic to that place, to see if we can weave some of those bits into the show. But, you know, also there are parts of the show that are literally improvised. So no show is the same ever, any night, in any city.
Now, I've often asked actors about improvisation. How can you do it when they say, but there's music cues, there's times. And they often say, we can't play, even though sometimes it looks like they do. But in this cast, you're letting them play.
Yeah, there's a certain moment in the show specifically where Celine literally goes completely off the rails. And the other actors have no idea what she's going to do each night. Keeps it fresh, you know what I mean?
In talking about this, it's almost as though everybody knows what we're talking about and they should know what we're talking about. But let's take a moment and explain what Titanic is, because it's kind of this love letter to Celine Dion, but it's kind of basically based on, I think, the musical Titanic, not necessarily the disaster of 1912 per se.
Yeah, basically, it's Celine Dion retelling what she thinks happened that night as if she was actually on board the ship. and in the structure of the show, we're actually kind of like poking fun at the James Cameron movie and all of its little idiosyncrasies and the things that tend to go viral about the movie.
Has she seen the show? Have you talked to her about it? A reaction?
Well, I mean, everyone in her team has seen the show, her producers, her dancers, her doctors, her sister, her sound designer, her backup singers. They've all come and they all loved it. So we assume she knows about it and that we move with her blessing.
She's going to come in one night probably with like a dark wig and glasses and, you know, sort of like the way Carole King went to see Beautiful is what I think.
Yeah, I would hope so, because if she shows up, I will faint. Okay. On the spot. Yeah.
And so will the cast.
Yeah.
Listen, your background is incredible. It's why you can do parodies like this, because you have done parodies of Mean Girls and The Devil Wears Prada and Troop Beverly Hills, Big Lebowski, Hocus Pocus, on and on. Also, and I didn't know this before I met you, but you are also the casting, you've been part of the casting team for RuPaul's Drag Race, Project Runway, The Real Housewives. It's unbelievable, your background that takes you into this project.
Well, thank you. I think it's just, you know, when you're out here freelancing as a creative in the entertainment industry, you got to do a lot of different things to make it work. And so I had many years working in reality TV and producing talent and finding drag queens and artisans and giving people a platform. And so I really care about talent. I really care about getting talent where it deserves to be. And that's kind of like was my mission in those years. But yeah, I basically ran a little dinner theater in Los Angeles where we kind of started the formula of Titanic, making musical parodies of iconic movies. And those years really were the bedrock of what Titanic became.
There are little moments of homage, Easter eggs, whatever the word is, to a lot of the work you do in other places. I mean, now I know that. And I see it sort of happen throughout the show, especially, say, RuPaul and others, which we just see happen in the show. this is an all Chicago cast. So did you cast the show? Did Porchlight cast it? Who brought these incredible talents, many of whom I know because they're the best in the biz?
Yeah.
How did they end up on this stage?
Well, yes, I auditioned them. I saw many people here, and we did like 3, 4, 5 days of auditions here in Chicago. I flew in, and myself and the team at Porchlight, we saw any and everyone who wanted to be seen for this because we really wanted it to feel like an all Chicago production. And aside from me having flown in to lead it, everyone involved on stage, backstage, designers, everyone involved is a member of the Chicago theater community.
The lines in this show, I mean, when I've seen it, I'm hearing lines which are, you know, just so current, so whatever. I'm guessing even when you depart for Paris to do it next time, there's going to be changes, new lines added in depending on what happens in the world. And it's not that this is a political show. It's not meant to be. But the point is, you are aware, the cast is aware of what day it is.
Yes, completely. And, you know, a lot of that just stems from back in the day when I was performing, I got so tired of doing the exact same thing 8 times a week when I was in Broadway shows. And so it just wears you down a little bit as a creative. And so I put Easter eggs, as you say, throughout the show so that it does stay fresh. I like to think of the show as it's like a living, breathing amoeba of creative goo. You know what I mean? Never want it to get old.
And what is amazing is you never know what's going to happen. And if you haven't seen the show before, you don't know what's about to happen, who's going to show up in terms of a character. The surprises never end, the stuff that goes on. And by the way, one night that I saw it, something went wrong with a prop, whatever. And it was played off so beautifully that in the end, I'm like, maybe it didn't go wrong with the prop because that cast member, Jackson Evans, played it so beautifully that I went, you know what? If it was a mistake, just keep it in.
Yeah. Yeah. Jackson's so great. Yeah, you know, when you set up a world where you know that we're at play on stage and that things are flying around you and surprises are coming and gags and bits, that's just candy for an audience. You know what I mean?
I get reports every night that the audiences are going absolutely nuts and bananas over this at the end. We get to involve the audience from time to time and certainly at the end in a very fun way. I'm sort of curious as a co-creator of this, what is your reaction as you've listened to audiences' reaction now that that show is underway?
Well, listen, what I think is that we are living through some like dark times in a lot of different ways, and people are carrying a lot of trauma from their day-to-day living. So what makes me the most happy, what makes me the most fulfilled is sitting in the back of the theater every night and listening to the release through laughter and joy that these people get to have. And it's just, that's what it is. It's a joy machine.
I have two suggestions. Number one, change the name to Titanic, spelled T-Y-E at the beginning. That's one theory.
You're my mom, though.
Yeah. And the other one is, you know, that magical from the movie Blue Pendant thing. You can see the tie to you as well right there. Little tie, blue pendant. I'm just making some suggestions.
That one's new.
A little homage to the co-creator. Ty Blue, congratulations on what is clearly a Chicago treasure. It's playing through July 13th, but, you know, people need to see it. But you know what? What people really want to see are the cast members who take that stage, who bring to life your dream and your vision 8 times a week. And so we're going to take a commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to say hello to many of the cast members of Titanic. Ty Blue, thanks for joining me. Safe trips to Paris.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And welcome back to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain. We are talking about Titanic playing over at the Broadway Playhouse. Joining me now, the cast. Actually, it's the entire passenger list of the Titanic back from 1912, as far as I can tell. We've got so many people, but I absolutely love this. And I just want you to see that I'm enjoying my morning coffee from Titanic mug. Love this. Love the gift shop. I actually bought another prop that they sell there that's in the show. Can't show that or talk about that, but Adam, you and I will discuss that later. All right. We're going to leave that out there. What? Anyway, I want to talk about this fabulous show. Yes, it's the story of the movie Titanic. It's not really the Titanic, it's the movie Titanic, and a tribute to Celine Dion. Claire Kennedy McLaughlin, you get to play Celine Dion. What an incredible voice. You've been listed on whatever listing as one of the top, the top 20 recordings of memory ever made. Am I right about that?
Yes, when I was 15 and as an understudy at my high school production of Cats. Yes.
And may I say two names that follow you on that list?
You may.
Barbara Streisand and Betty Buckley. So
no,
Betty
Buckley's ahead of me. Celine Dion is behind me.
Oh, Celine, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I kind of blew the whole mystique.
No, it's okay. It's the only thing I think I'll ever top the article herself at doing, I guess, was my brace-faced production of Cats.
Yeah, well, I'm friendly with Barbara's sister. I'm going to get that information to her. And
hey, my phone is resting on her coffee book right now, and I've got three albums behind me on my wall. So
you and me both. Claire, you play minus sign, though. Claire, so you've got the Celine Dion thing. It's a parody, whatever. But let me ask you, when you play it, are you Celine Dion or are you saying, no, I'm having fun with Celine Dion?
I would say both, because Celine Dion herself is such a fun performer and individual. It's certainly not a parody of her. It's a love letter to her. But I think one of the reasons, aside from her, you know, otherworldly voice and talent, that people love her so much is because she's so unique and kooky crazy and different from other pop stars and vocalists. So she, in and of herself, playing her truthfully is to have fun with her.
And your voice is so incredibly strong and so amazing. As I was mentioning before we started, I'm coming back for the third time soon because I love this show. And then, of course, Jack and Rose, some people think that you were like really on the boat. So we'll start with Rose. Maya Rowe, you play that. And of course, let me ask you, it's a touching character, but here you're getting pulled in a couple of different directions of love.
Yanked, you might even say, in a couple of directions. Yeah, I think it has been a tough line to toe. We want to be earnest. We want to give people the Kate Winslet, but then tap into the horny fantasia when it calls for it. So it's been fun, and Adam's made it very easy because he's so fun to play off of. And yeah, it's a very good time.
Adam, are you being Jack or are you being Leo DiCaprio playing Jack? And I asked because of that haircut I noticed you got.
It's a little bit of both, right? I want to give the audience the 1997 fantasy, but I'm trying to insert as much Adam as I can into Jack Dawson as well.
You have great fun in this. By the way, let's just get this out of the way. We know the big tragedy of the movie is Rose. I'm not going to say how this one ends, but Rose lets Jack die because like he can't fit on that door, which... Can you fit on the door, Jack?
I mean, I think there was plenty of room. I think there was plenty of room, but we have to be true to the movie. You know, there was no room.
Okay. Rob, I've seen you do other things. I mean, you were just a great comment up in Writers. I don't know that you've ever played a role like this before. If there's ever a scene stealer, with all due respect, because you've got some great comedy talent in this show with you, without a doubt. Yeah. Rob, I have never seen you this funny, this whatever. Is this the most outrageous role you've ever done, playing, of course, Rose's mom?
It is. And it's most like me in real life. There's a part of the show that I call the gay jukebox. I just kind of spout off a bunch of other iconic things that are, as our director calls them, gay dog whistles for people. And that's more like me in real life, but my career has actually been playing really sad people. Most of my resume are like either mentally unwell people or, you know, gay men dying in hospital beds. And I'm glad I finally get to do some comedy.
Your character's name is Ruth, by the way. Truly, I have to ask you, it is, you know, when I've asked directors of shows before, when things look like improv, they've said, I know it looks that way, but it's not. We can't. We have music cues. We've got computer things going on. As Ty told the audience in the show, he goes, actually, he does allow improv in this show. So truthfully, every night, we never really know what we're going to get from you. Do you try and just crack these fellow castmates up, or you just, what's the modus operandi here?
I mean, sometimes I do, but even I don't know what I go back to the classes that I took at Second City and IO back in the day, that I try to keep it about the truth, even the wild stuff that I go off into, the movies that I've chosen to quote in my improv part, all are strong women, or and typically are very strong mothers, or women who had to resort to really evil things to get what they wanted because of the time period. So it's and even within that, you got to keep your eye on the storytelling and the truth. So I'll every once in a while say something or do something just to make it different and fresh, and that can like jar people into a place of making them break. I personally am not a fan of watching people break on stage, because the comedy snob in me is like, no.
I love that. And by the way, there was one night where I saw Adam after the show, and Adam said, "I've never heard that line before."
I've got a couple of those.
Which was just class. I also think, I don't know whether there's a particular scene that we all know that you get. Do you get standing ovations after that sometimes?
I've never gotten a standing ovation, but I get wild applause during it at unexpected moments sometimes.
All right.
That's Jackson, why we built in me getting an award during the
Exactly. If they won't give it to you, we'll
some
give
nights
it to
you. I don't feel I deserve it. That award comes out, and I'm like, oh crap, I got to pretend that I did really well.
Jackson, you are one of the best known comedy actors in this city. You're always working. There's anytime a show comes up, Jackson's in it. And here, you have such great fun. I saw you one night where one of the props broke, but who would have known it because you played it so well. Talk about in this, the roles you play, I want to say you're the ship's captain. You kind of are, but you have a name.
I do have a name. I do have a name, but Rob, there was one day when you called, my character is Victor Garber. You're a fan of his career. But there was a day when Rob, what did you call me?
Vicky Licky Ding Dong.
Yes. So sometimes it does change. AKA he called me Vicky Licky Ding Dong.
I was tired of the other ones.
And I
that's from the man who says I'm not trying to crack people up on stage. Go ahead.
No, it's because I was bored. I wasn't trying to make anybody laugh but me.
I mean, I've been Licky Ding Dong since then.
And Luigi.
And Luigi, yes. I mean, this part is so much fun. I don't normally get to dance like this in shows that I do, and it's a blast. And the best part about the show is if you come and a prop bakes, we are encouraged to do something so lewd and crude with that prop before we chuck it off stage. It can change every night, and we have been given the freedom to have fun with whatever is happening right there with that audience. Whoever's in the front row with their name, however they want to interact with us, that's the joy of this show.
Dangerous thing to tell me when I'm coming back. And by the way, I've seen you perform a million times. This show, I've never seen you dance and sing to the breath that this show has allowed you. And that shows me there's a lot more Jackson Evans talent that's just there.
It's Celine Dion. It's Celine Dion. If she is known for her power ballads, which means like each one of us get a power ballad.
I love
it. Except for Rob. But Ricky Licky Ding Dong. You know, I mean, whatever.
It happens. Eric Lewis, so you are one of the background singers, but you are an understudy in this show for The Seaman and Iceberg. I've seen you in that role a couple of times. You are unbelievable. But first, in your role as the background singer, it's not as though this isn't like everybody's Tony Orlando and you guys are Dawn. I mean, you're very present. Was that a reference everybody gets? Rob did. Okay. Anyway. So talk to me about when you do get to be the background singer, is that, or do you say, I have a key purpose here? Is it like, I am a background. These folks are the stars. Because I want to juxtapose that with when you are on those nights as the Iceberg and the Seaman.
I mean, I think it all feels sort of like an ensemble piece. We're like all working together. We feel very much like a team, like a unit, and we're all telling the story together. So both parts feel like fun. You feel like you're on an exciting ride.
And the craziness, I don't even want to say who you come out as when you're in one of these roles, because I just think there should be some surprises for the audience in that pools. But you know, whether you or Lorenzo, who is currently in the role, you know, play that, it's absolutely hysterical. Did you all know, by the way, I'm sure you did, the show just won an Olivier in London?
Did.
Unbelievable. Rob Houchin, who I've interviewed on this show before, part of that cast out there, and it's just amazing. Let me talk for a little bit. I'll come back to you, Claire, about working with Ty. His background, and I actually learned more about it before I interviewed him, RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, all the things that we talked about that in our part of the interview, the show. But you've got this incredible talent who was letting you all have so much freedom to do what you want to do in this all Chicago cast.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's been the joy for me. A lot of times, roles that belt don't really get to do comedy. And so this being a vehicle where that's not only written in, but encouraged to bring yourself to the role. I have found that to be really exciting and unfortunately, but fortunately for me, a rarity so far. And it's been really great to work aside other really hilarious actors, particularly hilarious women like Maya and Abby Smith, and just getting to kind of sit back and watch their masterclass that is being hilarious on stage.
And Maya, then Adam, with regard to your roles of Rose and Jack, what I mean, how much freedom did Ty give you? Adam, you're doing some crazy things here that I'm seeing a bit of a different Adam than I've seen in other shows before. Sure, you're having a blast with this.
So there was obviously some like institutional Titanic things that Ty was like, this has to be in the show, this bit, this bit, this bit. But we had a little wiggle room there. So I'm trying to inject it with as much silliness and campiness. I mean, we're the second city here, you know. Ty actually mentioned offhand that our cast in particular, we didn't need to be like kind of shook loose to be like, hey, loosen up, have fun with it. Like, we were already there.
I think for us, it was honestly the other way around a little bit, where specifically with me and Jack, you know, we bring the audience back to reality, which is a tough line to toe when people come in wanting to laugh. And sometimes it's like, oh, but remember the movie? This part's sad. So cry a little and then we'll get you laughing in 3 minutes again. So that's been really hard, because when you have your besties on stage with you laughing and joking, it's really hard to not want to yes and them. But sometimes we have to be like, oh, this is a sad part. Someone dies.
And Rob, I'm sort of curious with your role again. So out there, do you look at all these other roles you played, the sad roles or whatever, and do you say, this is freedom time? Or do you call upon them? Does that help you develop this character of Ruth?
There is a part of the end of my monologue, which is directed towards Rose. I do try to get very sincere at the end of it. And then the minute I'm getting too sincere, I break it up with some weird breathing just to make everyone know that I'm still joking. But like, to keep it grounded is important. Otherwise, the audience checks out and they don't care about the characters or anything that they're saying.
Jax, I'm curious. Do you ever like forget which character you're in? Are you ever on there and you're supposed to be the captain, but it's all of a sudden it's Luigi? I'm like, oh, I forgot.
Luckily, I've never forgotten. I have not made a quick change. Which means there was a performance where I think Claire said, and Victor Garber, and I was still Luigi off stage. So luckily, if I just look down, I can tell based off of the shirt I'm wearing. it's pretty quick back and forth. Thanks to our crew for helping.
And Eric, the fun you have, whether, again, it's understudy night for you and you're on doing those roles and getting crazy, when you do the particular very famous singer, you can say it if you want to, I just don't want to give it away. Is that just a moment for you that you say, I'm just having a blast when I do this?
Yeah, definitely. Just having fun, going for it, screaming my face off, you know, the huge.
Yeah, this show truly is just letting you all just have so much fun with this. You know, the show is scheduled to run July 13th. I hope it runs a lot longer than that. You're all Chicago based, so you don't have to go anywhere. You're home. And that actually makes life easier. The eight shows a week thing is easy. The audience have to just completely propel you. I mean, it's just so exciting to see you. I wish we had more time. Blame Ty for eating up so much. But I want to just thank you all. The show plays through July 13th, at least. Tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. If you have not seen this, this is one of the funniest shows. Again, I'm going the third time. I love it. And so to all of you, don't miss Titanic. I love you all, guys. See you soon.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for watching.
Thanks, Paul.
Behind the Curtain.